This meeting is called to order at 6 p.m. The Hidden Valley Lake Community Services District Special Meeting for November 19th, 2019 at 6 p.m. Please stand and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance if you wish.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Will the general manager please call the roll?
Director Graham.
Present.
Director Freeman.
Here.
Director Lieberman.
Here.
And Director Bacon.
I am here, thank you. Is there a motion to approve tonight's agenda?
I would move to approve the agenda of the Hidden Valley Lake Community Services District, November 19th, 2019.
Second. It's been moved by Director Lieberman and seconded by Director Graham to approve tonight's agenda. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries unanimously. Is the recorder on?
I believe it is.
Oh, it is, it is. I'm sorry, I just didn't. Item number five is discussion and possible action, funding for the Mountain Meadow North Water Main Replacement Project. So, I'll open with this because I asked for this to be discussed. So, when this project was brought to us, 10 days ago or whatever it was at the special meeting, I think it was on November 7th, this is a project out of Fund 320, which is capital water. And at the time, the balance in that account, well, as of October 30th, it was $266.33, which falls far short. So I was in here about a week ago and informed by staff that the funding for this project actually wasn't in place yet. And the water resource specialist and the full charge bookkeeper were busy brainstorming on how to provide the funding for this.
Actually, that's not quite correct.
Well, that's what they told me. So I'm gonna just go with that for now, and then certainly you can have what you have to say. That obviously is not enough money. So the thing with these is we've been, since Kirk, about 2 years ago, started our reserves, we've been placing about 8% monthly of our water revenue into the 320, which would mean, as of the beginning of our fiscal year, August, September, October, and then November, there should have been four transfers of about $12,000 each. Those transfers have not yet been made, or if they have been made, it's very recently, and apparently they were just waiting for the general manager's approval to be done. So that would add another $48,000. The thinking was that the money, if you look at your pool cash report, out of 130 water operating, there's $165,000 there in money market. That would zero out that account and probably not completely pay for the water main project. In speaking with legal counsel, he explained that that transfer, regardless of past practices, cannot be made without board approval. And that in the perfect situation, that would have been presented to us when the project was presented. The contract has yet to be signed, and as the district manager noted in his budget report, this district is on life support financially. We made a very large investment in a vac truck, and that, as you'll see from your financials, had a great impact on our funds. So, the contract is not signed, and legal said that perhaps it would be best to pen this project pending legal and financial review by the board. And that is why we're here tonight, and if you would like to address that, please go ahead.
Legal does not have the expertise about the finances as the board does.
So no, it would be he said the board financial, him legal.
So what I would like to point out is that, and I don't remember the exact verbiage of your opening statement, but it is not accurate in saying that the transfers have not been made because I have not made them or approved them. We have, as I've talked to Director Marbagan about it, we have been instructed by Norm to do the transfers a little bit differently, instead of doing them every single month, to do them quarterly or do them once a year. So we're looking at trying to improve those practices, even though we got a clean audit. We think there's still ways to improve on it, so we're actually adhering to what our auditor is making the recommendation. And so what we're looking at is the, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe Alyssa, it was actually the fund, the LAIF account. So
130.
Right. And so looking at the transfers that we make from that on a periodic basis, since I've been here, that's been made by the, once it is approved by the board, it still takes the board president and not the general manager to make those transfers.
Correct.
So we cannot make those transfers at a staff level whatsoever. So I'm not real, I don't really understand the concern, because it was actually brought to the board with the funding and the past practices and procedures that this board has always adhered to. So if the board would like to do something different, we're happy to, but we need to know that.
Okay. So the, these are the things that were told to me. I'm passing this through. I was told the transfers haven't been made, waiting for the full charge bookkeeper would like you to be aware of that when it happens.
Correct.
And it is quarterly, and the auditor is the auditor, so although he makes suggestions, he shouldn't be telling us how to keep the books. But the point being, the greater point being, when we approve this, I certainly wasn't aware, and should have been, that the funding was not in this fund. And as the board knows, we have major considerations financially beyond projects, because to the point that if we don't do this, we'd put that money somewhere else, that's not the case. I mean, that's not the point. We really don't have the money. And to zero out the money market at this time, I just think it would be prudent if the board pended this until we can figure out financially what we need to do. Contractually, legal said we're not really in any danger here, and I just would like thoughts from the board, please.
What's the amount of money we have in 130?
It's 165,000 in, well, here.
165,03?
Yeah, and that's in the money market. Operating is the 221, and then LAIF is 105,000. We are on life support. The general manager is, he's correct. The purchase of that back contract really set us back, albeit necessary.
That was quite some time ago that I made the statement that this district's on life support. That was actually during the budget hearing.
Right, it's in the budget narrative. That is a public document. So although we are making steps towards no longer being on life support, I think the board is aware of a lot of administrative and other costs that we have. So
I do believe we need to weigh the risk, as many times as that line has blown out,
right,
with the fiber optics, with the guard shack right there, right, that, you know, if we do not proceed and that does blow apart, the district will be liable for all of the repairs to the roadway, the repairs or replacement of the guard shack, anybody that's hurt or injured. That line is under 100 and, Dennis, how many PSI? 130?
Well, no, that's actually zone 4, okay. So it's 78 PSI.
Mm-hmm. So at 78 PSI, yes, it would wipe out that roadway.
And we are liable all the time when there are problems.
Right, but the risk, what I'm referring to is the risk is getting greater the longer we wait because of the length of time, that you know, and how many times this is actually blown apart. If it's a risk that the board is willing to take, then we will have to move forward with that.
Okay.
I guess the question is, how are we going to pay for it?
Well, we believe that we're going to be able to pay for it with the transfer of funds.
Well, Is there enough transfer to cover it?
No.
It's a total of...
It's almost a $200,000 project.
It's a hundred with the... with the contingency, it could go up to 190, 193, I believe it is. And so you're looking at moving that money over and also looking at some of the money that typically comes back in through FEMA. So if the board wants to wait, we've spent money for the FEMA projects. We were under the impression they were going to be in sooner. If that money came in sooner, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
When you say moving over, what is the... When you say moving it over, what's the...
From LAIF.
To that.
So we actually move it from...
To that account.
Yeah, it takes the board president, is the one that has the authority to do that. Not the general manager.
Well, on approval of the board.
Correct.
Yeah. It's not that I can go around transferring money around here or anyone else who holds this chair. I mean, I think the greater issue is not the logistics of how we do it. Is it, at this time, the prudent thing to do with the knowledge the board has of the overarching
expenses? This is now a shovel-ready project.
I understand.
And if the funding is not there, and that's why we aren't signing the contract, if we don't get the funding in from FEMA to make up in the 130 that we've had in the past, we've had to use to get our grant money back, then we would not proceed. But once that money comes forward, so if the board puts us on hold, then that will hamstring us. We will not be able to proceed. We would have to bring it back to the board again. So all we're doing is we've got it as a shelf-ready project. The funding is replaced into the 130 from FEMA, and the funding is available. If the board were to proceed and remove that option from us, then it will have to come back to the board. Even though it's been approved for the board, we'd have to come back again, mm-hmm. because we would have to ask for permission, and then we could still use that 130 that it's slated for.
So the FEMA funding is not for the Mountain Meadow main project?
No, the FEMA funding was, the money was used because we had to pay out basically, as we've talked in the past, you had to pay money to get money from FEMA.
Correct.
So that money went out. When the funds come back, that account is the money's put right back in the account, is taken out of it.
How much did you do in from FEMA?
So we've got 948 that's come in. There are three or four more projects that have yet to be done.
And that's in our packet. Thank you.
And 600 of that went out as a pass-through to the county.
Right. And I'd just like to point out, and I thank staff for this information, our liability that we paid on that particular disaster that will not be refunded is $181,000 that we are out. And a lot of that is due to the fact that the emergency declaration wasn't made until after we had to do quite a bit of pumping. So that is money we are not recovering.
Now, some of that money charged by the county is a bill that is not, because the pumping was done ahead of time, the county will send us an invoice, but we're not obligated to pay that part of that invoice.
Right. But our expense was $181,000, according
Correct.
To the documentation we have in our packet.
Yeah, versus over $1 million is what it would have cost us.
Oh, correct. No, don't get me wrong. But I mean, that is still an expense we had not budgeted. So
I guess my question was, what's the actual net from FEMA?
The current net that we've received is $900,000.
Right.
I don't know what it is off the other four projects. Do you remember?
I can tell you that one of them is slated for $684,000. The other one hasn't been totaled yet. There's another one for $91,000. There's also management costs for every one of these projects. We are entitled to 5% of the cost of the project to be reimbursed. So that's another $50,000 on top of $1 million for the emergency protective services. So there's hundreds of thousands of dollars.
But we're obligated to those with that hundreds of thousands of dollars.
That's $100,000 coming in.
Right. Oh, we have a 6.25% obligation of the total funds.
It is in your board package, yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to figure it out.
What is the, is there a timeframe for when these funds might be available from FEMA?
The funds have to be available once the project is completed. So the project's not completed yet for all of the ones that we've declared. And from the date of the disaster declaration, which was May 18th, we have 18 months to get all those projects done.
And what would be our share of the cost to get all those projects done?
6.25%.
Which is how much in dollars?
Well, so one of the projects was $684,000, so that's going to be 6.25% of that project.
Okay.
And then the other one was the $91,000 I was talking about, so it's 6.25% of that.
Okay.
I don't have them off the top of my head, but we also have the $50,000 coming in for management costs of the $1 million, so 6.25% of that. Those are the three that I can just come up with.
And that's if. I mean, that's, we're doing our best to make sure, but it's an if. Everything else falls on the 218. I mean, that is our backup plan.
So, in essence, if the board leaves it as is, when the funding comes in, then we can proceed. If the board does not leave it as is and puts the project on hold, then we put it up on the shelf, and it does not occur until we can get board approval to move forward.
And all you have to do is call a special meeting. It takes 24 hours.
But I've been told not to call special meetings.
Well, then ask the president to do it, and they will. Because we didn't even discuss FEMA funding when this project was presented to us. And nobody said, we won't do this unless we get FEMA money. That was not stated at all. We approved $195,000. $141 and change going to Terracon, and the other going to Coastland plus a 10% contingency. There was no mention of FEMA money. And there will be no shortage in this district for years of things to fund with extra money that comes in. But, I mean, it's... I believe the board is aware of many financial obligations.
So like I said, it happens either way. The board can table it, and at that point, it is a lot more work, and it is a special meeting, as I've been asked not to call. And if we leave it as is, then it's up on the shelf, but it's ready to move as soon as the funding comes available.
Right. We can't table it because we approved it. We would have to make a motion to pen this project. We would have to make a motion to pen it. Regarding the funding mechanism. So it's...
You can, but you're not obligated to, I guess what I'm trying to say.
Okay, thank you.
I'm just thinking if you pull this 130, whatever it is, out of the money market, and we have some other emergency, something that arises, because we don't know when and how much FEMA money is going to come in, I mean, it's sort of like, you know, pulling the money out of your savings account and hoping, you know, you don't have a medical emergency or something. But
I agree, but we would not be pulling it until the FEMA money came in. That's what I'm trying to say. Is if the project sits as is, we would not be able to pull that because that would not be doing our fiduciary duty. We would not be able to pull the funding from that account until FEMA already put money into that account.
This project is slated to go.
How are
we
going to
pay for it? Right, no, like if I had signed that contract, we'd be having them come. So it's not like we were told this was going to be on the shelf until we got FEMA money. That simply isn't the case. Now, maybe you're saying it's the case now, in which case we need to pen this project. Because that's not what we understood when this project was presented to us.
Well, just to understand, if we approved it and signed it...
We still would not have...
If we did it today, when would the project start?
I was asked 2 days ago to sign that contract.
Would that project start prior to us having the funds coming in?
No, we would not be able to do that financially. I would still have to sign as well, and we would still have to get it over to them. We have to submit it to the contractor. So we would wait until the funding was transferred. If the funding from FEMA didn't come first, then we couldn't transfer that money. So that's what it's still pending on. So if we want to have shovel-ready projects to move forward,
The contractor would hold that way and just say, okay, I got a signed contract, but I'm not going to...
We would not submit the signed contract to them.
Kirk, I was asked last Friday to sign that contract.
Okay.
And that after our signatures are on it, legal said that it's a contract, and we were told this project was going to start like in 10 days.
Before the rain started.
That's what we were told. There was no mention of having this shelf ready. That simply is not the case. Maybe it's you want to make it the case now?
No,
that's fine,
that is not correct.
We were not told that this was pending FEMA funding. The record simply doesn't bear that.
So let's move on. Where are we in terms of if we put this on the table on the back burner and wait until FEMA money comes in so we're not draining number 130? Do we have any idea when this FEMA money would come in?
Alyssa just said up to 18 months they have.
No, she said it was up to 18 months was to finish the project.
Finish the project.
Oh, finish the project, excuse me.
We can't get the money until we finish the project.
Okay. So we finish all projects?
18 months.
Each individual project, once it's completed, then we are eligible to be obligated. So it would come in piecemeal.
Okay. Now I understand this is not a FEMA project, though.
No.
Right.
So it comes in piecemeal, so if we spend money over the next couple of months and that portion of the project is done, we submit for that and the money comes in. We don't get the whole amount at one lump sum.
But wouldn't we be getting reimbursed for projects we did that are FEMA eligible?
Mm-hmm.
So how would that money apply to this project?
Very simple. You have to remember that where did the money, the seed money, as you guys called it, from to do these FEMA projects come from? It came from the 130, the 120 accounts. So when that money comes back in from FEMA, it goes back into those accounts.
Okay, you're talking about the accounts, and we're talking about the projects. So wouldn't we be looking to get reimbursed for the costs we had on those projects?
That was the $900,000 we just got.
Right, of which $181K was our liability. And we passed through
No, the $181,000 was above the $900,000.
Oh, okay. That was our out-of-pocket. You're right.
So we got $300,000 back. We got $900,000. $600,000 went to the county.
Right.
So we still have that $300,000. It just got put in the bank.
So,
And we had the commitment letter that we were getting that money back when we brought this to the board. So we knew that money was coming.
So the $250,000 balance against the $181,000 that we had to spend to get it doesn't leave a lot of money. So, as you would say, Jim, if you would like to move on, we need to... Carolyn, do you have anything to say?
No, just that at our last meeting, I mean, I think I expressed, you know, my concern about going forward with this project at this point in time, and that it might be prudent to hold off and wait till the beginning of next year, the first quarter of next year.
The other thing we have to consider is, as we go for loans, and some of our priorities, like the AMI, are scheduled to be paid for by loans and the 218, the bank is really going to have a problem if we keep zeroing out our bank account and have somewhat underfunded reserves. And that is not the fault of the general manager. I want to be clear about that. We are in a tight spot financially. And the board is aware of many upcoming expenses.
One thing to keep in mind is that the bank did not have problems funding this district and projects before I got here. Before I got here, we did not have reserves in capital or operational reserves for water or for sewer. And so the bank did provide funding. You have paid off several of those already. So I don't want us to paint it in light that that this district would not get funding. We have Holman Capital and several other ones that are asking us to take out loans with them right now because we are such a good risk with these new reserve accounts.
Right. But we haven't actually really applied yet, right?
We have not applied for it. We have done pre-application paperwork and talk with them to see where we would stand, what our percentage rate was, so that we know how to bring that to the board in the future if we, mm-hmm. if we use that as an option. So we have done some preliminary work.
What project are you asking for a loan for?
I'm not asking, as I just said, I'm not asking for a loan for any
projects. Oh, just our position on
the the preliminary, AMI. I have talked with them about the tanks for matching funds. So there's quite a few things that are on the strategic plan. Actually, all of them that I've talked about are on the strategic plan because I need to bring options to this board. And so, no, I have not done any applications, but I have done some preliminary work with several different companies to find out what we would qualify for as far as interest rates, whether it be state revolving funds at 2.1 or if it's Holman Capital at 4.1. There's another one, I name's not on the top of my head right now, but they're running about 3.8%. So they're looking at the options to see what we have for the strategic plan moving forward. Those are things that we're going to have to find funding for when and if the 218 is passed. So now is the time for me to do my due diligence, and I have done that.
So the only, and I agree with you totally. The only thing is, like, when we've gotten previous loans, they give us a debt service ratio. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes when we go to do other projects and they notice we're not meeting the debt service ratio, they say, you got to raise rates. Yeah. So, I mean, I agree with you. It's tough. It's a balance. It's tough. But, I mean, right now we have this project before us, and it seems that the board has exhausted discussion, and if I'm incorrect, please discuss. But we need, as Jim Freeman would say, let's move on and decide what we're going to do here.
I'd like to see us just put this aside until we get whatever additional funding we get from FEMA to make sure that we can pay for it. I hate the thought of draining the money market account to do this. I hate to see a goose egg in any account. But specifically to completely drain it makes no sense to me.
Right.
So
would you like to...
I would suggest that we just...
Okay, would you like to move that you'd like to pend it, you'd like to put this on hold pending financial fund, you know, you just can't say pending FEMA in the motion. But you can figure it out. So if there is a motion, that would be great.
All right, so I'd like to move that we pend this project until we receive adequate funding that isn't going to drain our money market or drain 130, get some more money into 130 and be able to afford it. I think the board will have to figure out what that's going to be, but let me make that motion that we pend this until we get adequate funds into 130.
Okay, that's good.
I would second that motion.
So it's been moved by Director Freeman and seconded by Director Lieberman to pen the Mountain Meadow North Mainline Replacement Project until there is an adequate funding plan. Is there public comment? Okay, the motion has been stated, and would the Secretary please call the roll?
Director Graham?
Yes.
Director Freeman?
Yes.
Director Lieberman?
Yes.
Director Mervagian?
Yes. Thank you. Motion carries unanimously 4-0, so the project is currently on hold. Thank you. Our next item on the agenda is the discussion and possible action regarding the AMI water meters. So I just happened to notice in the general manager's report, and I believe he's trying to be proactive here, that he had put in there that he is going to initiate a process, not a bidding process, to prepare the AMI project for eventual bidding and completion. And so in discussions with the general manager, he expressed his frustration that the board really hasn't given definitive direction. We have seen several sales presentations. He has given us a couple of options. But we have not, as a board, said we are ready to do this project. And I think that he deserves the consideration of us saying definitely which direction we are going in. Having Coastland do the RFP and prepare the project will be costly. We've also, later on tonight, we're going to review our priorities, and now that PSPS events seem to be the order of the day, we're now looking at generators and, you know, a lot of things. So AMI, once it's done, would be funded through a loan and the 218 process. It's not predicated on any FEMA funding as yet. I mean, who knows what's coming. But in my mind, there's still a lot of unanswered questions about AMI and also options that we have not yet, you know, fully understood. A lot of the water loss we have is between the well and the meter, and that is a big problem. The AMI will address the problem from the meter to the customer, and we know we have a lot of old meters. It would also relieve the field staff of having to read meters. But we need to give the manager some definitive direction before he even begins to, you know, sketch out the process. And so, because he drove that, I think it's good that he did, because we need to be a little more definitive on what we want on this.
If I might, there's a little caveat, there's a little correction. I'm actually not looking at doing the bidding process through Coastline. We're looking at putting together a scope of work. It doesn't matter who the board chooses, or if it's a maintenance project as well as a meter replacement, or strictly just a meter replacement project, we still have to define the scope of work. So that has to be done no matter what.
Do you think you could do that?
No.
Because
we've got 12 people here, and we're trying to juggle quite a few other things. And so, as I was saying, we have to define that scope of work. That scope of work will eventually go to a bid process by law. We don't have a choice.
Right.
It is always best to have somebody do that bid process, because especially when we have a community this small, you really want to make sure that you're going through the process, you're not picking somebody due to favoritism. This board has also made it very clear in some of our special meetings and our regular meetings that with the budget and the rate study that was done, that there is a cap, and they've told the public that there is a cap on the rates, and that this district and this board will do everything in their power to keep those rates down and not have to raise those rates. If this board chooses to go with the maintenance project, whether it's through Suez, and Ferguson does or will be offering that also, either way, if this board chooses to go with a maintenance project, that's roughly $500,000 that our customers will have to pay additional, and we will not be able to keep those rates as low as possible.
Right.
It is my belief that, whether the board's come out and told me or not, it's my belief that by making that very clear, that we're to keep things down as far as possible, that the maintenance project is probably not the direction that we should go. That is a direct meter replacement project. You can talk with field staff. I think they'll agree that we have the ability and capacity to do that. The maintenance project means that somebody else owns the meters. We don't even own them. And that's a big problem, because we can't really go out and touch those meters without the owner's permission. And if the owner doesn't come in and replace a meter that's been broken for several days or a week, we lose that revenue. And then we have no recourse.
Right, so how do you want to scope this project? Because you're saying that right at this point you would only like Coastland to do a scope.
Correct. So they can do a scope and put in the whole meter replacement scope. Now, if the board were at the last minute, say, sorry, we want to go ahead and go with this maintenance program, would it cost our constituents $500,000 more? Yes, it would. But if the board chooses to do that, then we simply have Coastland add that portion onto it.
How much will it cost Coastland to scope this project? Just scope it?
I have not gotten that far with it.
Okay.
It's just something we've talked about internally. I have talked with John at Coastland, told him he'd like to discuss this. They're going to put some numbers together. So it's not something we've already told them to do. It's we're trying to get information.
Right, and you just mentioned it in your report. I want to be clear. You didn't have an action item. You just mentioned it in your
it's
report.
It's just the general manager's report that we're going to talk with Coastland. I believe in being very open and transparent, telling the board everything. We're going to talk with Coastland to see what it would cost to have them actually do a scope of work for this so that in the future, if the board wants to go with an AMR, well, AMI, sorry, and the board said they don't want to go with AMR. So if we go with an AMI replacement, then we actually have that ready. There's no sense in not doing our due diligence and having things on the table or on the shelf ready to move forward. The other concern that I have is that when you look at the AMI project, that's between $42,000 and $48,000 per year that we are losing through the meters.
Right, so, from the meter to the house.
Yeah,
right.
Through the meters. So you're looking at, I believe they said, somewhere between 27 and 32% of our water system is being lost in total. And a high percentage of that is through our meters.
So I had the opportunity.
And 10% is, don't want to be over 10%.
Right. So I had the opportunity to speak to GHD one day. Dennis had, Jim Winter's here. I don't know if, well, I'm the oldest director on the board, I guess, because a lot of the oldest have been here the longest. Jim used to come to our meetings all the time. And I was waiting to see Kirk, and we just kind of got to talking. And I asked him if there was a way for us to actually calculate how much water we were losing from the well to the meter, and he said yes.
There is.
Absolutely there is. So we also need to know that, because that's even going to be more than the $42,000 a year that we believe we are losing on the
other
side.
That's an unknown. We don't know that it's more, but Dennis has requested that we purchase correlators. And the correlators are specifically to find that number out. You've heard Dennis and I both talk about that. The correlators last year were taken off of the budget. We did ask for them not in 2019, in 2018. And that would have given us that number.
Good.
And so the correlators are exactly how you find that out, correct?
Jim, I'm sorry, you were going to say
something. No, I just, sorry, I didn't. Stumbling over something, a thought. First of all, the correlators, are they rentable? Is this something you need? You take a reading for several months?
You can, but you're going to pay more in rent than to purchase. They're about $21,000.
Okay.
And so they're a higher cost. Now, don't quote me on that number because that was two years ago.
Yeah.
And so it's a higher cost to rent them for the period of time we need them. In other words, if we're going to do our entire system, it is more cost efficient and beneficial to move it through your system because you have to look at not just your from your wells to the pump house here, but then you have to start looking up to each tank and then your distribution lines come down. So your transmission lines up and your distribution lines down. So to move these correlators, you know, every 3-4 weeks and try and narrow down where those leaks are, you actually will start wide and you'll narrow it down to each section and know what each section is leaking. It's something that we would have for years to find that total number out.
And do you buy a bunch of them, or are they 21 around 21 each?
It depends upon how much you can afford, honestly.
Okay.
And so if staff is not doing the meter reading, at that point then what they're doing with those extra 3 or 4 days is putting correlators out there and narrowing down where those leaks are and finding those leaks so that then we can put that into our capital projects and at least we know that number and when and if the money's available, then we can start pinpointing the lines that leak the most.
So just
big bang for your buck.
So the other question I had was, we've been banding around this number of 28 to 32% of revenue for loss of water. Correct? Of water revenue.
It's about 42%
of water, not revenue, of water.
Of water.
Yeah. So we're typically, when I was at Eastern, we would run between 7 and 9% water loss in the different systems we had. AWWA looks at 10% as being typically acceptable in the industry. If we're at a 27% water loss, that is over double what industry standards or the normal acceptable level is. Does that mean that we're worse than a lot of districts? No, some of them are at 50%. So it just depends upon your district. And if you can afford to keep that water loss down, then you're going to recover. You're not going to be spending so much money to pump. And so your costs to generate water are going to be reduced, and you're going to be actually producing the water for the customers.
Are we sure that the cost to capture all that is going to be less than the cost to fix the problem?
That's
in other
what
words, right now, is. Right now we're just we're losing the water.
Right.
But it's not costing us anything to lose the water, in essence.
We're pumping that water, so it's costing
yeah,
us electrical,
costing electricity.
Chemical treatment. And so that's what the correlators would tell us. That's an unknown. So until we know we can quantify the amount of water loss between the wells and the actual meter, until we actually correlate all of that, that's you know a question we have too.
And we ever get down to zero?
No, nobody will ever get to zero.
Winter said you'll never get to zero.
No.
So Kindleberger, if you remember him, and I forget the name of his company.
Mark Kindleberger?
Yeah.
With Snyder Electric.
Snyder Electric. He guesstimated, and it is a guess, that from the meter to the house, we were losing roughly $42,000 a year in revenue. And of course, that depends on rates and everything. That's just that portion.
And
he also said it was the unknown of the other part, because our infrastructure is very in need of a lot of work.
Porous.
Porous, that's a good word.
Now,
thank you.
One thing to think about, too, though, is that Mark and I told Mark to err on the side of being very conservative.
Yes.
So that's where the 42 came from. The actual numbers he came up were closer to 46 to 48,000.
Okay.
And it's not so much a guesstimate. We actually pulled over, I believe it was 200 meters, Dennis?
Yeah, it was somewhere around there.
And those meters were actually bench tested. So we took meters of all different ages. And that's what that was taken from. We created that out and said, okay, if this is a representative sample, and according to all these stats, that was a representative sample we took, then you extrapolate that, and that's where we came up with the 42,000.
I remember that bench test. I didn't think it was as many as 200, but if you say it is, that's fine. So is what we want to do to define this better for the general manager, do we want him to find out the cost of scoping this, put it on the December agenda, and find that out?
Absolutely.
Is that reasonable to everybody?
It is.
Okay with you?
Perfect.
Oh, thank you.
I know we explored at one point, you know, sort of pay as you go, maybe doing the meter replacement in stages.
That was our original plan.
Why did we decide not to do that?
Staffing. Manpower.
Now we have the vac truck.
Correct, but I still need staff to physically go out and turn the wrenches. The vac won't do that. I have to have somebody go out and actually, what you have to remember is even if we have a contractor come out, we have to go out with the vac truck in front of the contractor and clean those boxes out.
Right.
And so to have staff then turn back around, take the old meter out, put the new one in, you'd be looking at probably 5 years to 7 years to actually change all these meters out.
Mm-hmm.
By then, you're running two systems. So that means that your meter reading is not efficient either. So you're not going to AMI. When one director has AMI, it might be 5 years later until the other director gets AMI. So it's not very efficient. And you also, with the meter reading process, we're actually out there hand reading. And what I don't think that I have done a very good job relating to the directors is the handheld units that we currently have are starting to fail. We've actually harvested parts. I do remember telling the board, we've harvested parts out of the last known handheld, and we put the ones together that work. Well, we just had one start to fail again. So there are no more out there. We can't find the parts on eBay anymore, because that's really where we had to find them originally. And now we're starting to lose the ones that we do have. So if that doesn't work, the next thing we're going to be able to do is take an actual piece of paper, a book, and write the address or the meter number and a meter read, and handwrite them like they used to in the old days.
We'll see, going backwards like big
time. Exactly. So if we don't do something rather quickly, then your entire meter system, and that is, you've got to remember, your meters are your cash registers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And your cash registers will stop working. You know how you can run a credit card through? That's the AMI system. If you want to go back where somebody's pushing buttons and going cha-ching, cha-ching, and watch the drawer come out, that's what we'll be going back to.
So it doesn't look like we're taking action, we're simply giving direction. So would you please find out the cost of doing that scope of work and put it on the December agenda?
I will, as long as I can get it to you by then, I definitely will.
Thank you so much. Are we done with that one?
Okay.
So there's no comment because there was no action. So do we have any public comment? And we have another meeting coming up, so you're going to get to talk then too.
I have a comment.
Sure, Jeremy, please.
When you were talking about the recovering the water you're losing and the pumping, if you're losing less water, you're going to recover your tank levels faster too. If you're pushing water out to leaks, you're not going to recover your tanks as faster after, you know, emergencies like power outages and such.
Okay.
Fires.
Thank you.
Good point.
Your expertise, for sure.
I've just been questioning how the trying to correlate the revenue of what Snyder Electric said. And I'm not there yet. I'm not sure how he figured out that was going to be that amount of money.
If you go back
and look at all the meetings and stuff, it's all
it's all in there.
I can give the Reader's Digest version if you
yeah, I was going to say, well, not right now, but because we're kind of moving past this, but maybe you could meet with Freeman sure, go ahead.
So just in short, what happens is because of the sections of the meters we took out, we bench tested, we know that 5 gallons was supposed to flow through, and when 5 gallons went through, it only read 2 gallons. So we know that that 3 gallon difference, we know how much that 3 gallons is worth, what we charge per gallon.
So the accuracy of the meter is what you're saying, and
correct.
I recognize that. I thought you were talking about what I heard was between the meter and the house.
Right.
Saying, how does that, that doesn't reflect in any revenue.
No. The meter in the house, we don't care if there's a leak between the meter
yeah.
and the house. It does not affect us. I think what Director Marbagian was saying is that the leaks it's actually at the
inaccurate
meter.
Reading.
At the meter.
At the meter.
Okay.
Which is the,
thank
which
you for
is
clarifying
the,
that.
The right. Not the patient, yeah. The customer. Yes. Yeah,
well,
you're right.
That
thank
I understand.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Okay.
Thank you, Kirk. That was the Reader's Digest version, too. Thank you. Board member comment?
That's good. That's it.
I have one thing a constituent told me that, and I don't even, okay. This person is on the Conestoga Trail a lot. I don't know him personally. He's noticed that there's now a large swath of wet ground where there never was before, and the creek is dry and it hasn't rained. And his concern was that it could be a leak in the Unit 9 tank. Now, it's a long way, but it is downhill from there, and water does flow downhills. And, you know, my thought was a spring or something, but it hasn't rained and it hasn't been dry, and I just wanted to call it to your attention because, you know, we have problems up there sometimes with other things, and I'm just making you aware. So.
And then, just so the public knows, it's a redwood water tank, and because of redwood water tank, it leaks. It's designed to leak, and that way everything expands, the redwood expands,
there
to seal it. It is possible. It is water from the Unit 9 tank, and it's simply water just from the leak of the overflow.
He's there daily, and he just never noticed it before, and he just mentioned it.
Okay, yeah, if we could get an idea where it is on the Conestoga Trail, have a better idea to pinpoint.
Okay, I'll see if
help.
I can ask
otherwise,
him to take a picture.
Otherwise, we'll have to hike the trail until we find it. Just kind of the bottom of the
mountain.
I walk that a lot, and I was up there maybe 10 days ago. And there are a couple of natural springs.
Oh yeah, there are
up there. So and in fact they have a tendency to make part of the trail sort of muddy, in spots.
Yeah, usually.
And they're they've always been there. So I don't know if it's springs or
just an awareness.
Yeah.
I just. Okay. Are there any other problems?
You know, one time, just a question. We were on a program of. I don't know if it was because they were suspected slow readers, we could tell by the billing, or what, but we were bench testing and replacing meters as we suspected they were reading inaccurately. Are we still doing that? Is that?
We have a program that if a customer questions their bill, that we can pull it and we can do a bench test on it for them. really what we can do is we'll look at those meters. We'll replace the meter right then and there because it's just easier. We can take it back and bench test it. If there was a problem with the meter, then we can make an adjustment to their bill. It would come to me at that point. We haven't had any in over a year that I can remember. That said, we would never put the old meter back in. So once we change the meter, we would either, and nowadays with AMI, those old meters go to scrap, and the new one would just stay in. So, but we don't have a program where we physically go out to the meters, and if there's and check each and every one. It's a case-by-case basis. If we see something that's a little bit of a concern, then Dennis will go out typically, or Sam, and look at that, and they may just swap the meter out and then do a bench.
I just thought we were doing sections at one point.
No, we don't have that time right now with staff.
I know if I had a slow reader, I probably wouldn't call you.
No.
Yeah.
Ask you to come check it out.
Neither would a lot of other people. I think it's rare that meters run fast. It's more, much, much, much more common that they run slow.
Meters can't run fast, thank goodness. They can run slow.
With no further comment, is there a motion to adjourn the special meeting?
So moved.
Moved by Director Freeman, seconded by Director Lieberman. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, no. We are adjourned at 6:51. That's it. 6:51 p.m. We will reconvene. Well, we won't reconvene. We'll have our regular meeting at 7 or shortly thereafter if you all want to take a quick break. Thank you, Kirk.
Thank you.